This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hello and welcome. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is The Fan Early Morning Show. It's for the average Joe, and when the average Joe wants to shop like a pro, the average Joe can go to CGR Wholesale, our Fan Early Morning Show sponsor. Nice to be with you this morning, talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Although, you can really start any topic of conversation if you so choose at 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X at Callas_33. That's CALLAS_33. You can watch us on YouTube now if you haven't heard yet. That's a thing. So go to YouTube.com and search 93.7 The Fan. You should see all of our black and yellow branding there. And you'll see a live stream. And you can see me, kinda. I'm in the little window at the top in the back with my head cut off. But you can see the studio, too, usually when they're, you know, because most hosts throughout the day are in the studio, so you'll be able to see them on that live stream. So, on YouTube.com, and as always, if you want to watch, too, you can on 93.7thefan.com. And so the Pirates went 9-5 yesterday. Pirates, though, do not have a great track record this year of rubber matches. They've lost a good chunk of rubber matches this season. And, you know, that can get frustrating. You know, they can never salvage what feel like big games. Or they can never win games. I can't say never. They struggle at winning games that they should win. And I was having a conversation with some people yesterday, and I was just talking about the Pirates, and I'm thinking about how this season they're feeling a lot like the Steelers, just maybe without, you know, the one or two big splashes that you can see the Steelers make from time to time. Like the Steelers, though, like how the mechanics of their seasons have gone recently, too, which is they play down to competition, but then they win the big games. They win the big games that they need to. They play up with some of the toughest teams on their schedule, but then against the weaker teams, they've been known to struggle and lose games that they should win. Saw it last season with them. The same idea with the Pirates right now. They won the series against the Dodgers. They kept up, I believe, split with the Phillies earlier in the year. Won 2 out of 3 against the Braves, who they're going to play soon here, too. They're playing the Braves next. They're going to Atlanta. Braves came to Pittsburgh, though, for the first matchup of the year. But the Pirates won 2 of 3 at PNC Park. And so that's cool. But then, you know, you get blown up by the Reds. you know, really aren't that much better, if at all better, structured than your team. You know, they've been dropping rubber matches like crazy. I think it was, they were over their last six rubber matches throughout May and June. You know, Cardinal series that you could have had if you drive in more runs and drive in guys who are in scoring position, who are on base. So, or, you know, sweep the Rockies, too. That's a big one. There's no business. The Rockies have no business sweeping the Pirates. Or not sweeping the Pirates. Blowing out the Pirates in one game, 16-4. The Pirates still won that series, but, like, you know, that's just when you feel like that they should have. So, reviewing all of these games, I mean, there are more games that they should have won that would put them over the top. And, again, it just reminds me of the Steelers in a way. Sometimes they play down to competition, but they do play up to other teams, some of the better National League teams. So it's odd. There are many reasons to be frustrated. I like to find what I'm grateful for from this team a lot because, you know, them being in the chase also I think is important. Them being in it, the fact that we can talk about them and relevancy is important. But it's just extra frustrating, too, when they're there, you know, when they're on the doorstep. They are in breathing distance of a playoff spot, and, you know, they play down to certain teams, and they can't quite get over that hump. So we're going to go over yesterday's game. Yesterday's game was a good one. That one seemed like a well-rounded game. The bullpen gave up some runs later on. But otherwise, I mean, the offense was where it needed to be in this game. Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz went deep. And so that's exciting. Just real quick, Pirates now still 2.5 back, but they've separated themselves now from the Reds and the Cubs. The Reds are 37-42, 3.5 out of the third wildcard spot, right now occupied by the San Diego Padres. The Cubs are 37-43, 4 games out. Pirates are 2.5 back. They've got the Mets and the Diamondbacks to hurdle, and then they have to catch the Padres to get that third wildcard spot. All qualifying playoff teams right now, though, in the National League are over 500. Could not say that 2 weeks ago, and now you can. So that's cool. And then, yeah, most of the teams are close. Pirates are 38-41, so they're close. And then the Diamondbacks and the Mets, they're the closest to 500 now. The Mets 38-39, the Diamondbacks 39-40. So they're both close there. So what a turnaround for the Mets, by the way. They're quite a story. Grimace threw out the first pitch of one of their games, and he's become a sensation, and they went on a winning streak after that. Now they are a formidable opponent. It is good, though, for the Pirates to separate themselves from National League Central teams, too. The Reds lost. That was in direct correlation with playing with the Pirates. The Cubs have lost 3 in a row, so that's good. You love to see it. So, all right, let's just take a quick review of this game, too. Look at the box score. We'll look at what went well, what might not have went well. I cannot speak enough to the greatness of Andrew McCutchen. I think that it's underrated, too. Now, the Pirates, sometimes it's hard to appreciate because the Pirates, you know, sometimes they don't drive in runners. And that can be frustrating. But McCutchen gets on base at the leadoff spot, and that, you know, that helps this team tremendously. At least sets them up for success. He walked twice. Didn't get a hit yesterday, but he walked twice. He was on base twice. That's what you want him to do out of the leadoff spot. And I mean, I've heard people call in, too. I mean, we've heard some people on the reaction show after Pirate games. You know, those immediate reaction shows talking about how McCutchen might be washed up, and I don't know if he's worth the investment. He's not McCutchen MVP, but we're not paying him like McCutchen MVP. Pirates are paying McCutchen to be, you know, one of those just reliable veterans. And for $5 million, you're getting him on base seemingly every game it's been right now. He's got to be on a streak for that. I mean, he's been on base a lot. And I think that's important. And I think sometimes that gets underrated, too, just how effective, you know, he can be. I mean, he's putting together solid at-bats. He's been putting hard contact on the ball in many of his at-bats that he's been up there. And he walks. And so all of those eventually lead to being on base. And he's a guy that's been able to be on base, and that's somebody that I just want to highlight. I mean, for some of you that don't think he's of value, it's hard to argue with how often that he gets on base from that leadoff spot. And for those of you that already know he's good, well, okay. I'm preaching to the choir. Somebody, or the entire team, they need to do some sort of prank on Brian Reynolds where they try to convince him that June is still the month, whenever the month turns over, because I don't want anybody to tell him that July is July when it turns over. He's been so well in June here. 2 for 5, a home run, 2 runs batted in, and 2 runs scored for him in 5 at-bats. That's tremendous. He's batting great in June. It seems that that's always been a habit of his, is to bat well in June, and this June is no exception. It makes you feel a little more confident in the contract that he got. Sometimes it takes guys where they need the time to heat up. Brian Reynolds may have been one of those guys, and it seems that that's true. I mean, Neil Walker talked about that last week. Just sometimes it's a freak thing. Sometimes guys just need a couple months to warm up, and then once the summer hits firm, then they start producing better. Brian Reynolds is one of those guys, and I hope he continues this throughout the season, of course. But nobody needs to inform him that July is going to end in a week. They need to just keep him hitting. And have that June mentality throughout the rest of the season, for sure. And O'Neill Cruz hit his 10th yesterday, too, so that was pretty good. Rowdy had a couple hits, and he drove in a run. So that's... I'm still at a tug of war in my own head whether he's worth it or not, whether it was worth him just having absolutely atrocious at-bats and batting really poorly at the beginning of the year. But either way, looking at it in the moment, I mean, he was on base 3 times in 5 plate appearances. He walked once, got 2 hits yesterday. Great America Ballpark is a great place for lefties to hit. It's a great hitter's park, and so... he got his hits. He's not doing the thing, though, that he's paid to do, which is hit home runs. I feel like that was his primary focus, was to be one of those middle-of-the-order hitters who hits home runs. Now, he batted 4th yesterday, so that's middle of the order, and he got on base 3 times. So not the long ball run production from him that I think was designed, which hurts the perception of him a little bit, I think. But, he can't argue with the three... You can't argue with being on base 3 times in a game, so that's we'll let it slide. It's there, but I mean when Tellez is on, when those three guys are on, I mean those 2, 3, 4 in yesterday's lineup, when those guys are on, it has a direct correlation with I think how the Pirates do in a lot of cases. Now sometimes when one of them is not hitting well, you need like a Nick Gonzalez or an Oliveras or hopefully a Sawinski, who was a defensive substitution yesterday but did not get an official at bat. You want him to do well too, but he's been atrocious and that's been exploited. Nick Gonzalez has been cold as of late, but that may be turning around because he had 3 hits in yesterday's game. So sometimes you need some of those other role players in the lineup to take a couple games maybe when the big guys are struggling and have them lift the team and carry the team a bit. But like when Reynolds, Cruz, and Tellez are on, and if they're batting in the middle of your order like that and they're producing like that on a regular basis, you're set up for success. Because I think that was the design originally for those three guys to be the toughest of the hitters in your lineup. So I'm with it. I mean, Tellez not being able to hit at the beginning of the season I think hurt them greatly, because you're batting him in the middle of the order most of the time expecting that he's going to be your run producer. And when he wasn't, it was really hindering the team. Reynolds starting off cold didn't help, and Cruz, coming back from injury and just needing to get back into the rhythm of things. I don't fault him for some of the struggles he had early on, but they were giving him some consistent off days and batting him lower in the lineup. He's eventually figured it out. He's turned it around, and here he is now. So, all good signs. Now, this may be an outlier of a series as well, because Great American Ballpark is a hitter's park. But the Pirates aren't playing poorly. They're not hitting poorly in this series so far. They got 5 runs in the 11-5 loss on Monday. And yesterday they scored 9 to win 9-5. So, you know, it's not, you know, that they're not hitting at a place where you're supposed to hit. So that's good. They're doing what they're expected, and that's great. Let's hope it carries over to some point, and I hope that they can sweep a series. Sweep a series here. Just one. Give me one sweep. They haven't had a sweep in a long time. Give me a sweep. That's what I want to see. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. I got a break coming up here, but you're welcome to call and talk to me, 412-928-9370. That's the phone number. You can talk to me on X at Callis underscore 33. That's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. I respond to those as well, either in typed form or sometimes I'll read those on the air as well. So if you have comments, if you have opinions about the Pirates at all, about yesterday's game or about the season in general, I take those. So again, 412-928-9370 and on X at Callis underscore 33. Quick break. I'll be back. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin the Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hello. Welcome. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. If you're just joining in or... if you've been with me the whole time, it's nice to hear from you. You know what we're talking about right now, the Pirates. Pirates won yesterday. They won 9-5 against the Cincinnati Reds. That splits the series now one game apiece going into the rubber match, which is going to be played today at 1:10 in Cincinnati. So we'll see. Pirates haven't done too well this year in rubber matches, but to get a series against a division team, I'd like to see it. I know you'd like to see it. So let's go, Buccos. Let's see. You know. 412-928-9370 on X at Callis underscore 33. That's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. So I was kind of thinking about this a little bit, just about Ben Cherington and some of the things that he said. And Bob Nutting, Pirates owner, talking about, you know, winning now. The goal is to win now. And you know, that's big when he talks. It can't be emphasized enough. It's, you know, he doesn't just go out there and say, "Hey, we want to start winning now." Sometimes, you know, they'll avoid the question, they'll avoid the conversation. They'll just say, "Hey, you know, we're getting better. We're trying to develop guys." But that's not it this year. Now this year is we want to win, and that's the message that's being sent there. And I feel like it's genuine. I'm looking though at Crowley and Doran talked about this last week. Crowley not going to be here today, by the way, if you haven't heard. He's on vacation. So he's going on vacation, so we won't see him for a little while, a couple weeks. But they talked about this last week. It's like, you know, Cherington, what's his history? What is he known to do? What did he do on his during his time with the Boston Red Sox? And so they had a World Series championship in Boston in 2018 when he was the general manager, and in 2013 too, so two, that is, when he was general manager. But really the 2018 team was, no, excuse me, I had that wrong. He wasn't a part of them. He was the GM from 13 to 15, 2012, 13, 14, and 15. There, those are the years that he was there. And then
yeah, then he was hired by the Pirates a few years later. But,
you know, while he was there, I mean, he put together a championship team. And then he also made some of the worst decisions, very criticized decisions of, you know, any general manager's tenure, because they were broken down, the Red Sox were, because in 2011 they missed the playoffs, 2012 they missed the playoffs, it was real bad. That was when they tried Bobby Valentine as manager after Terry Francona. You know, Valentine didn't do so well, they let him go, they brought in John Farrell, and John Farrell, you know, in 2013 led them to a World Series with a bunch of guys who were not expected to make them win or help them win. I mean, they had acquired Adrian Gonzalez and got rid of him almost immediately. They sent Josh Beckett to the Dodgers, a longtime starter for them, and had a lot of success with them. They were just cleaned house after they realized that all their acquisitions, Carl Crawford went to the Dodgers too, and that, you know, in that deal, same deal with Gonzalez and Beckett. So really, you look at it, and they did a really good job, and Charrington at the helm did a really good job of cleaning house, you know, figuring out, okay, this isn't working, this isn't meshing, this isn't helping us, and bringing in some veteran guys and also having some young talent. Xander Bogaerts was a breakout player in 2013 and was a big part of their World Series run, but just brought in guys who, there was a mix of veterans and young guys who made them really good. And that, again, that 2013 team, World Series champion team, it was a good team. It was a good mix of players. And the team had heart, too, because that was, you know, your Boston had that the tragedy in that marathon. And so there was a little bit of that, too, a little bit of heart, a little bit of conviction from the players to give them something to be happy about come fall, come postseason baseball. So, but with that, though, I mean, that team was constructed, again, of a good balance of players and a passion to be able to win. And then, so that was the compliment that I'll give Charrington there. So I'm trying to compare him to his time in Pittsburgh and just see what similarities are there, what differences are there. You know, is there any correlations that you can find? Because, you know, I think some people are just blindly mad at him for, you know, not doing certain things. But when 2014 came around, there was just this odd signing of Hanley Ramirez, who by, you know, nature was a shortstop, but they already had Xander Bogaerts. So Hanley Ramirez was attempted to be converted to a left fielder, which did not go very well. So then they eventually made him a first baseman and a DH, but they were paying him a pretty large amount of money, and I believe he ended up getting released in 2016. So that was a year after Charrington was with the Red Sox, but still, yeah, I mean, not a great deal. Then there was Pablo Sandoval, who was he's great in the postseason and great with the Giants. Red Sox picked him up on a huge contract, and he ended up not doing well. They ended up trading him back to San Francisco for peanuts. I think in 2018, but it was, I mean, he was injured for a good bit there too. He wasn't healthy enough to really be productive. So it was just a bad situation there. And so he spent a lot of money with the Red Sox, like a lot of money in that time. You know, those hundreds of millions of dollars don't seem very large now in terms of how contracts get dished out now, but there were large amounts of money at the time for guys who did not really do well. Now, Hanley Ramirez is kind of up and down. He wasn't a good left fielder. He hit well in spouts for them, so maybe you can make the argument that he was productive enough, but he also wasn't productive enough to stay on the team for their run in 2016 when they made it to the playoffs. They ended up getting rid of him after that. So maybe Charrington's learned from the spending money blindly mistakes that he made in Boston and doesn't want to do that with the Pirates. Now, again, actually, I can't even say that because the spending money thing, they're spending money but they're allocating it toward players that you feel like could help the team long term. The Brian Reynolds contract, I think, was smart. The key Brian Hayes, I mean, before we knew about his back injuries, but that seemed like a smart decision. And it's a team-friendly deal as well. It's, what, $9 million a year for a young guy who is a Gold Glove Award winner. So there's that. The trades, though, that they're making and the acquisitions that they're making, I think, you know, have a lot to be desired. The development of prospects, I think, has a lot to be desired, at least from a hitting standpoint. Cherrington's great with the pitchers. I mean, we've talked about that plenty of times. He has been great acquiring pitchers and getting pitchers in here to be productive. You know, maybe he's not all about, though, just like getting the big-name guys, just blindly getting the big-name guys just because they're big-name guys. Pablo Sandoval was one of the worst. One of the worst signings of all time. Because he was really great in the playoffs, and he was really great when he was a San Francisco Giant. He was not very good anywhere else. So maybe he's learned from that, and he's like, you know what, I'm not just going to acquire big guys, big-name guys, these guys that you expect to do well, you know, the top end guys, because they don't always work out. And when he was in Boston, there were a couple examples there where they didn't work out, and that may have, you know, cost him his opportunity with the Red Sox moving forward there. Maybe he's learning from that. Maybe he wants to handle the Pirates a different way because he's already seen what has happened before in his time where he tried to give exorbitant contracts to guys just because they had the name and the brand, not because they could still play or do it, you know, very well. So that's just food for thought there as we talk about what Cherrington's motivations are, but food for thought for you on what he may be doing as we go down the stretch here. Trade deadline approaching and the Pirates having the goal to win. So who's the right guy? Who's the right guy to acquire? We'll see. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This has been the Fan Early Morning Show. Real quick, I got to give you Fan Weather. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 87, low of 67. Cloudy skies expected. 70% chance of rain, too, in the forecast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.